Friends, this is Susie Larson, and thanks so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. To learn more about the show and to listen to other Live the Promise shows, log on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you're listening today, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, if you listened to yesterday's show, you know that my hubby and I are actually taking a much-needed vacation in Florida, but we wanted to do something kind of special for you. I hope you enjoy it. We've decided to re-air the series I did on my new book, Your Beautiful Purpose. You know, we received so many responses the first time around that we wanted to take this week and listen to them again. So today you're going to hear part two, a message titled, Trust God's Timing. You know, sometimes we get impatient with God's work in our lives and we want things to move faster than they're moving. We need to trust His perfect timing for us. So this program and other programs are on the website if you'd like to listen again or share them with someone you know. That's at myfaithradio.com. So I'm going to give you just a reset of Monday. So in case you didn't miss that show and you want to know what we're talking about, what is your beautiful purpose? Well, it's kind of multifaceted. The first thing is to walk intimately with God, to know Him intimately, to know His voice and do the next thing He says. So to walk with Him, to do the next thing He says, to give Him access to your story, to your fears, your insecurities. And then finally, if you dare, to ask Him to do the impossible in and through you. And the story I told a little bit was about Peter when he was in the boat with the disciples, and there was a storm, and Jesus walked on the water to them. And the disciples thought Jesus was a ghost. But here's Peter, so hasty but so in love with Jesus. He said, Lord, if it's you, call me out. And I paused in the book, and we paused last week just to think about that and talk about that. Wow. Okay, what if it was a ghost, Peter? You're so hasty to say, Lord, I'm scared. We're all scared. It might be you. It might not. But if it is, call me out. What if it was a ghost? And the ghost said, yeah, okay, it's me. Come on out, Peter. But what Dr. Warren Wiersbe says in his New Testament commentary is that Peter actually said, bid me come. Lord, bid me come. And what that means is a command of a king. And so in so many words, Peter was saying, Lord, I know you're the king. So if you call me out, you're going to hold me up. So bid me come. And that's my charge to you, to believe, first of all, that you're God's masterpiece. You are no accident. You bear the image of the star-breathing God. You are a masterpiece, the Bible says, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the wonderful things He planned for you long ago. So do you dare to walk intimately with Him? Do you dare to give Him access to your character inconsistencies, to your fears, to the things that you hide from everybody else? Do you dare to give Him access to those things? And then do you dare to say, Lord, bid me come. Call me out. Call me out by faith, where I'll need faith to stand in this place. Because I know if you call me out, you will hold me up. And so one of the stories now, as we transition to this second section, Trust God's Timing, Face Down Your Fears, you've maybe heard before. I've talked about growing up in a large family of seven kids, three brothers, three sisters, and love my family. But growing up, you know, with brothers, there was a, you know, they chased us with the BB guns every once in a while. They sat on us, knobbied our heads and all that good stuff. And so I was a gymnast back then, and my brothers would flip me, and I'd run into an aerial cartwheel, and they would spot me. And they were great spotters, except they held all the power. So once in a while, they would get a little funny, and instead of spotting me on a summy or a cartwheel, they'd throw me into the shrubs. So I'd be going for a trip, and then I'd be flying through the air, and I'd land in the shrubs. And so it was sort of like Charlie Brown in the football. Never knew quite what I was going to get with my brothers. And one day, I'm sitting at the table, and I'm drawing, and one of my brothers sits down with a Twinkie. And I drop my pen, and I'm staring at that Twinkie, and I'm like, where did you get the Twinkie? The Twinkies have been gone for 4 days. And I knew it was going to be days before my mom went and got more fun groceries, right? And so I'm just, and he knew he had me. And so I'm just, he's drawing me in. He had all the power. He's holding that Twinkie, and I'm staring. And finally, he goes, do you want it? And he could barely finish his sentence. And I said, yes. And I grabbed it for that Twinkie. But this was going to be one of those times he was actually going to be nice to me. And so our hands collided, and I smooshed the Twinkie in my fingers and wrecked it completely. Now jump ahead. I'm an adult, and there was a number of times in a hard, hard season of life where I was ready to grab for myself because I didn't trust God to provide for me. And I'm just ready to do something that I never consulted God on. I'm just going to go and grab this thing because we needed something, whatever. Not that I was going to steal anything, but let's say I was going to charge diapers and formula instead of trust God that He would somehow provide. And I heard the Lord say in my heart, you're grabbing the Twinkie again. I know that sounds crazy, but I knew that I needed to trust him to provide, that his will for me, his will for you is the best case scenario. So we need to trust God's timing, because if we don't trust his timing, we'll grab counterfeit sources for ourselves. We'll grab things that are far less than God's best for us. And you need to know there's two things that get in the way of God's ultimate purpose in your life. One is self-ambition, and the other one is self-preservation. Self-ambition compels us to run ahead and get ahead of God. Self-preservation calls us to fall behind and save face and protect ourselves when God's saying, trust me and step out. So before we play this first clip from the DVD about the difference between grabbing for ourselves and grabbing for the Lord, I want to take a call. I'm going to get Karen on the line from Duluth, and she gets that first copy of Your Beautiful Purpose. Karen, welcome.
Well, thank you.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good.
I just want to say that you are an inspiration to me, and I enjoy listening to your program. And one day I was driving along, and I happened to be going to the spot where my son was killed. At the same moment, you laughed, and you had such an encouraging laugh. And I thought, yes, you can smile at the spot because you know where he is. He's with the Lord.
My goodness, Karen, I'm so sorry for your loss, but wow, thank you for that word. Wow. How are you doing today?
We're doing good. It's hard, very hard, and that's kind of like I thought this book would be really good.
Yeah.
To see where God is putting us right now.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a next place of promise for you, a new land that God has for you. So I'm so glad you get a copy, and I'm going to make sure I sign one personally to you, Karen. Thank you so much. Precious. Boy, there's some stories. Boy, wow. And I have to say, if you missed last Monday's show, I pray you'll listen to it, because even the callers, what they contributed to the show, so, so powerful. So here's one of the first clips from the DVD, Your Beautiful Purpose, that goes along with the book. This is about grabbing for ourselves or grabbing for God. Listen in. If we don't trust his timing, we grab for ourselves. If we don't face down our fears, we live in reaction to those fears. And we got to know that when God appoints us to do a certain task, he also equips us. So in 1 and 2 Samuel, you read about King Saul. He was appointed to be king. So he had the equipment to be king. But he was so driven by his fear of man, his insecurities, his territorial footing, that he really wasn't a very good king. And he really squandered the God opportunity before him. And this is something that should put the fear of God in us, that if we have a God opportunity that we're assigned to, but we live more in reaction to our fears than we do a response to his love and his promises, God will raise up somebody else to step in for that opportunity. I don't want to miss one thing God has for me. But Saul did it. He blew it and blew it and blew it again. So the prophet Samuel tells him, you're losing the kingdom, and it's going to be given to someone who will steward this better than you. Well, Saul got insecure. As Samuel started to walk away, King Saul reached for Samuel's robe, and it tore. Samuel turned around and said, today the kingdom will be torn from you. What a picture. When we are grabbing for ourselves, everybody loses. Now jump ahead to the New Testament. There's a woman with the issue of blood. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She'd been at the mercy of doctors who tried their best to find cures, but only made her worse. And something you need to know about this blood disorder causes incredible fatigue, incredible body odor, isolation from community. So she was lonely, worn out, fatigued, exhausted, isolated, and deemed unclean. And so you have to imagine trying and trying again to get a response, to find somebody who could help her, who could heal her, only to find herself worse. But then she finds Jesus is in town. Can you imagine the flutter in her spirit to say, maybe today? The kind of courage it would take for her. She's supposed to be isolated. She's supposed to be away from people. But this was her time. And so even though she was afraid, she responded to something within her. And she pressed through a crowd that she was supposed to stay away from. And she thought, if I could just get a hold of him, his hem. And when she did, she was healed. I want you to imagine what that was like. I deal with daily health challenges. I know that I will know when I'm healed. I bet her cheeks just flush with energy. I bet the blood just coursed through her veins and she suddenly felt her heart beat faster. She knew she was healed. Jesus turned around and said, I felt the power go out of me. Who pressed into me? Because the crowds were pressing in. I really believe he did that so he could look her in the eye and say, beloved one, you didn't take healing from me. I gave it to you. And you look at the difference here. When we grab for ourselves, a counterfeit source, we grab for ourselves things we don't believe God will give us, everybody loses. But when you reach for the Lord, everybody wins. You know what? It matters that you trust God in His timing. It matters that you deal with your fears. God will help you face down your fears. In fact, He allows giants to be in the land so we learn how to battle. And we're all afraid of something, but it is possible to get the fears under our feet. An overwhelming victory belongs to us. It's our birthright as citizens of the Most High God, citizens of the heavenly kingdom. So maybe you are in a time of testing. One of the things I mentioned last week is there's three phases to this dream come true, to walking out our purpose. And the first phase is that dream far off. When you suddenly awaken to the idea that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, then it's easy to start dreaming and think, you know, the sky's the limit. Nothing's impossible with God. And suddenly, mixed in with all of those exciting dreams and thoughts are ambitions and impatience, where you start to notice everybody else who's doing what you want to do, but they're farther down the line. And pretty soon you start to commit the sin of comparison. And this time, it seems to go on forever. We're like, Lord, you gave me a dream and a vision for my life. Why is it taking so long to walk it out? I've got all this passion in my soul, and it seems like an utter waste of time that I'm walking through, facing one obstacle after the other. In fact, it's easy to say, I would be walking out my call if it wasn't for this. But I want you to know it's the thing you're dealing with, that's training you for that. And He makes no mistakes. And so that in-between time, that training time, William McDonald calls it training time for reigning time. So when the dream is far off, God knows what He's doing. He's taking His time because He's making you ready. He only wants to extract from you the very things that enemy would use against you. And so He knows what's in you more than you do, and He knows what it takes to bring it out. And so that's where you go to that first part of James where it says, consider it pure joy, unadulterated joy. Don't muddy the waters by your angst at wondering why all these trials, why all these tribulations. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because then you know that the trying of your faith develops perseverance. And you got to have perseverance to make it, to last long and finish strong, to be mature and complete. You got to learn perseverance, and you come upon it with sparring practice, one battle after the other. But when you know and remember that God is on your side, who can stand against you? Then you remember overwhelming victory is yours. So that in between time, He makes you wait because He's making you ready, right? The second phase is then a dream up close, and that's where the fears are confronted. And that's where if you keep applying God's promises, you keep walking forward, suddenly you will get your toes on the edges of that promised land. You will have forward progress. And suddenly, that dream will be so close your humanity can touch it. And then all of a sudden, where before you're like, Lord, I'm ready. And He's like, you're not ready yet. Here you're standing here and you're going, Lord, I don't think I'm ready. And suddenly you find all kinds of reasons why you really shouldn't be doing this right now. It's not convenient. But deep inside, what you're feeling is, I could so mess this up. But God says, no, this is a time. Now step out. And so this is the place where you face down your giants. This is the process. And then the third phase is a dream realized, and that's where you're conditioned in your faith and your faith is strengthened. But we're going to talk for just a moment here about how battles bring up what's in us so God can deliver us. And it's a loving, loving training time from a loving Father. I am going to open up the phone lines now. We've got three copies to give away. Love to hear about your training time. What kind of season do you feel like you're in? What does obedience look like to you? Otherwise, you can ask me a question or comment on the whole conversation as well. 877-933-2484. One thing we should know is that battles test us, improve us, and they show us what's in us. When Goliath came and threatened the Israelites, King Saul was the king, but didn't act like one. David was a boy, but he acted like a king. What came out of Saul was insecurity, was fear. What came out of David was courage and honor. So here is Goliath of Gath, hurling insults at God's people. Saul was the leader of God's people. They had God on their side, yet they trembled, and some of Saul's men ran for their lives. And then David comes in as a young boy and said, who is this Philistine that dares defy the armies of the living God? I'll go fight him. And he runs to the battle line. This is amazing, and it's something we can learn from this, is when the enemy comes against us, he'll try to single us out. He knows our number. He knows what things to say to us, to prick our insecurities, to get under our skin, to leverage our fears against us. And you notice how when he hurled insults at David, David really, in so many words, said, who is this giant?
Who is this Philistine that dares defy the armies of the living God? In other words, when you come against me, you come against the armies of God. This is a very valuable lesson. Do not let the enemy of your soul single you out. He doesn't get to do that. The only time you're going to be singled out is when you face God face to face with the life that you lived. You won't be able to blame anybody else. You won't be able to point to anybody else. You and him will be face to face. And the question will be asked, what did you do with this Jesus that was offered you? What did you do with the opportunities? What did you do? How did you steward the promises and the purpose written over your life? Then you'll be face to face. But right now you're equipped to win in battle. And so when you look at what David did as a young boy, he took out the giant. And then what happened? The giant's men fled. The Philistines ran for their lives. Overwhelming victory is ours. We can learn how to battle when we walk with God. There's two motivations that keep us from God's best. One is self-ambition, and that's when we get ahead of God because of our own perspective of how we think things should go and the timing things should play out. The other is self-preservation, where we fall behind in fear, where God is calling us out, we don't think we're ready, and we do everything we can to self-preserve. In Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. Do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit. But also, don't hide to the point where you don't trust that God's going to care for you. Remember, battles reveal what's in us. Conflict reveals what's in us. It can be so easy to get discouraged when you have conflict with someone and stuff comes up in you. My pastor said the greatest thing to me once. He said, you know what? Don't get discouraged when your flesh rises up and you see the stuff still that God needs to redeem in your life. It's like he's reaching inside your soul, pulling it out, saying, you see this? I'm about to deliver you from this thing. And so God does allow hardship. He allows giants in our land so we can learn how to battle. And so when the stuff comes up in us, we have a place to go. We've got a Savior. We've got new mercies every single day. So don't be discouraged when your fear rises up. Just face it. Face it and know that overwhelming victory is yours.
Overwhelming victory is yours. I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts so far? Where are you in the process? Are you being tested? What are the lies the enemy is sending your way? Is God revealing to you his truth? Are you hanging on to his truth even if it doesn't feel true? I've got a few more copies left of Your Beautiful Purpose. I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. We've got Sarah calling from Illinois. Sarah, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Susie. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. How are you today?
I am doing just great. Thank
you. Good. Good. So tell me about your journey.
Well, we are currently as a family in the middle of the adoption process. And so the whole process from beginning to end has just been covered in prayer. But it takes a lot of faith to remember that God is in control financially and just as a parent, bringing another child in when we already have three young ones. And so God, you know, we are definitely being tested and just trying to hold on and not lose faith that that God is coming through and our victory is close.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, Sarah, parents that adopt children are modern day heroes, and because it would be easier to not step out of the boat and easier not to put yourself out there to lay down the funds. But to get such a vision for God's heart for this little one is so, so beautiful. How can we be praying for you?
Thank you. Just praying that we receive the finances that we need, and most importantly, that we don't lose faith. Mm. That we're just, you know, encouraged when we need to be encouraged, and that God brings the right people across our path.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, and may he absolutely give you the desires of your heart, hon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bless you. 877-933-2484. I remember when my older brother, when he was a little guy, and I was very young, and my dad was looking out the kitchen window, and I crawled up on the counter and said, what are you looking at? And he was watching as the neighborhood bully was pushing around my brother, and they were kind of in a battle fighting. And I'm like, Dad, go save him. Go save him. Go help him. And he wouldn't take his eye off of him. And he said, I'm not going to let him lose, but I have to let him fight. And I think there's something to that. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about the warfare, the weapons of our warfare, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. We're to put these on. We're to walk in these. Scripture tells us, do not fear, be strong, be courageous. All of these things imply initiative on our part, faith on our part, and that we need to take a stand so that when it's all said and done, we're still standing. And so often in the training process, when we are walking out in a season that feels totally disconnected to the cry of our heart, and we wonder, has God lost my address? Has he left me here? Has he forgotten about me here? It's easy to get disillusioned. It's easy to get an attitude. It's easy to get offended with God. And Scripture even says, blessed are you who are not offended with God. And the reason the Bible says that is because it would be easy at times to get offended with God when our circumstances say a different message than what God does to us. And so oftentimes in this training time, if we get an attitude, it's almost like we put ourselves back out under God's discipline and we short circuit the process. Now, God can redeem it in every way, but really if you want the shortest distance from point A to point B in this training process, it's to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Trust his timing and walk out when he says to walk out. And boy, that can be hard and it can take a lot of humility, but he is with us and it pleases his heart, as like Sarah's doing. You step out on faith in a way that costs you, in a way that says, you know what, Lord, I'm putting it on the line here. If you don't come through for me, I am sunk. So I would love to know even how you've stepped out in faith and how God proved himself faithful. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Listen to this awesome passage from Psalm 18. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield to all who look to him for protection. For who is God except the Lord? And who is our God except the solid rock? God arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. He strengthens my arm to draw a bronze bow. He's given me his shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. You stoop down to make me great. You know, he does say that this is a battle, and in this world we'll have trials and tribulations, but we can be of good cheer because he overcame. And Scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So overwhelming victory belongs to you. So this is really my heart's cry for you in this season, is that you align your life completely with God, that you get rid of lesser commitments, that you bring focus to your days, that you understand that whatever season you're in, God can redeem it. He can renew it. You can start to see purpose in it. And truly, if he is wanting to redirect you, you start to seek him on that. Lord, if this is far less than your best, give me a vision for your best and show me some next steps I can take to line my life up with yours. And so you got to know there's a difference between surrendering to your circumstance and surrendering to God in your circumstance. So to surrender to your circumstance is to say, well, this is as good as it gets. It runs in the family, or nothing ever works out for me. And it's kind of like what the Israelites did in Psalms. It says that they grumbled in their tents and refused to believe the Lord. In fact, it says the Israelites refused to believe the promise of God's love, to promise to care for them. So they stayed in their tents. They grumbled and refused to obey the Lord. So in other words, they were mad because there was no promise over their life, but they were the ones not believing the promise. That's what it looks like to surrender to your circumstances. Now, to surrender to God in your circumstances is to say, this place doesn't define me. This season doesn't define me. This hardship doesn't define me. And Lord, this is a hard season for me, but I'm not made for this place. And I'm going to keep my eyes on you in this place. So somehow, some way, I'm going to learn how to stand in this place, embrace your promises in this place, but trust as I watch for you that I'm going to move on from this place. That's surrendering to God in your circumstances. So what's he saying to you right now? Do you get a sense for the next place he has for you? Because for each and every one of us, there's a next place he has for us. And it's such a beautiful thing that he wants us to carry this treasure. And to me, it's like this grandma who gives the grandchild this family heirloom that's priceless. And she lets this little feisty toddler carry this thing, knowing he could trip in the shrubs and break it. But she's like, no, I want you to carry it, because I love you that much. I feel like that's God with these callings on our lives, where he knows that we can do it wrong. We can take the credit. We can do it right on a Monday and blow it on a Tuesday. He knows it all. He goes into this deal with a full knowledge of who we are, but he decides to use us anyways. Isn't that just amazing love? Wow, powerful to me. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Maybe you're in a process God is moving, and he will move on your behalf. Do not let go of hope. Love to hear from you. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. I think we have a couple more books to give away. 877-933-2484. Love to hear from you. We're talking about your beautiful purpose today. It's a wonderful day. God bless you. Back in a moment. Powerful song. He's a friend of mine. I love that. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking about your beautiful purpose. And let's see, Laurel calling from Hopkins has been on hold for a couple minutes. Thanks so much for your patience, Laurel. Good to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you very much.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm being blessed by listening to your program.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, tell me about your journey.
Well, it's been quite a journey. I have been raised in Minnesota. I moved to Kansas in 1973. I was there almost, had a marriage of 25 years, and then my husband committed adultery and deserted me, and I've had kind of a rough time, but my father came and got me and brought me back up to Minnesota, and my life started all over again.
And how are you doing
and
today?
And better than before.
Oh, wow.
Much better than before.
Wow, bless you, Laurel. Thank you for hanging in there in faith. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for that testimony. Someone's listening today who's in that in-between season, and you've got such a spring in your step. I can tell by your voice that that just your faith is going to be a testimony to her. So thank you. Bless you. All right. We've got Michelle calling from the Twin Cities. Michelle, welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I am doing so much better. I was listening to your topic today, and I totally could relate to that. I've just been walking that lifestyle for the last, well, quite a few years. My biggest battle was I was married to an abusive husband and struggled to get my children free from that environment. And then in the process, through that abuse, that they became addicted to drugs and having my daughter actually turn against me, and for the last 4 years, I have had to battle the devil just to keep, I mean, she would be verbally abusive to my face. Just when I thought that, you know, having my husband verbally abusive to me and my daughters would be enough, my daughter ended up, you know, with that type of mannerisms with the drug abuse, and all I can say is I wanted to just come on and say to people, don't give up.
That's right.
I mean, I had so many days where I cannot tell you how painful it is to see, you know, your child being taken away by the devil and trying to hang on. And I just want to tell people, do not give up. Just, you know, be patient. It's been 4 years, and now I have her back, and, you know, I attribute it all to God.
Yeah. And you being a praying mama that you are, that is just so beautiful. And again, I know personally just a handful of moms that are in the trenches interceding and warring for their children who are in unbelievable situations. But that enemy is after our kids. But, boy, he's messing with some mama bears here. So I'm so grateful that you've continued to pray for your daughter, hon. Thank you so much.
Yes, every day. You just keep praying and praying, and don't give up.
That's right.
All I can tell people, give up.
Bless you, Michelle. Thank you so much. So we talked about trusting his timing and then facing down your fears. And that's part of this training process, where when you get a sense of what God wants for you, a hope, even if it's for a child and a breakthrough, you can get very impatient. And when we react to those impatient feelings and those ambitions, we can get ahead of God. And but then there's times when we're waiting on God, and we learn to wait on God, and then he moves us forward, and suddenly we notice there are giants in the land. Well, the story you're going to hear next is one I never wanted to share with anybody. It's very, very personal. And I was at a conference speaking to about 2,000 women, and the Lord nudged me and said, tell that story. And I'm like, really? I thought this was going to be between us. And so it is a very, very personal story. But since I've been sharing it at conferences, women have been responding to it. And really the idea is, as things were starting to happen, as I was laying hold of God's promises and he was, you know, for lack of a better term, expanding territory, and we were seeing lives change. On one hand, I was so excited. But on the other hand, I was scared out of my mind. And this fear kept rising up in me. And a girlfriend is like, she says to me, anybody else would be doing victory laps around their yard. Why are you not just jumping up and down? And I said, I'm so afraid. And she said, what are you afraid of? And without thinking about it, I said, I have a fear of exposure. And she said, exposure? She says, nobody lives cleaner than you that I know. She said, what is there to expose? And just her weird look on her face was a gift from God, because I realized that the enemy had embedded this lie and this threat in my soul that I hadn't even realized. And in the days to come, God would deliver me. That's this story.
You know, a couple of years ago, God delivered me from a fear I didn't even know existed. Actually, I knew I was afraid, but I didn't even have a name for it. But when he set me free, it was a game changer for me.
On one hand, I enjoyed intimacy with God. I walked closely with him. I enjoyed great times of prayer, times in the Word. But on the other hand, I missed out on the abundant life God intended for me. Over these last years, we've seen God do amazing things. And all the things I'm going to be talking to you about, his promises being true, facing down your fears, all those things are true. And as I took God at his word, I did see him expand territory, open doors of opportunity, use us in ways where lives are being changed. So I couldn't really identify why, though. I was miserably afraid on the inside. On one hand, I had joy. On the other hand, I had paralyzing fear. And I had this conversation with a friend, and she's like, all these great things are happening for you. Why aren't you more excited? Other people would be running around their yard, jumping up and down. Why aren't you just thrilled beyond words? And she's sort of poking at me, going, what is that? I said, I'm afraid. And she said, what are you afraid of? And before I could even think about it, I said, I'm afraid of a fear of exposure. And she goes, exposure? What's there to expose? You're like the cleanest liver I know. I don't know anybody who lives more cleanly before the Lord. And it was like this weird look from a friend was a gift straight from God, because I knew that I wasn't a fraud. I wasn't living a double life. So how did the enemy manage to get away with so much in my life to paralyze me in fear that I was somehow one step away, one word away from absolute public humiliation, that I was just one tiny tiptoe away from dishonoring God and dishonoring myself? It was a paralyzing fear, and I asked God, deliver me. What is this? Well, it really goes back to when I was a little girl. God started to show me this chronicle journey of how this fear first entered, made its way into my soul. As I mentioned, I grew up in a big family of seven kids, and we lived check to check. And we were kind of a public family. My dad was the mayor of the local city. And I would go with my mom to the grocery store to help her get groceries for a family of nine. I'll never forget this. We had two grocery carts full of food. We're unloading all the food on the conveyor belt. People are behind us. People are in front of us getting their bags ready. We got all the food out on the conveyor belt. And the woman said loud enough for everybody to hear, I'm sorry, Mrs. Erickson, we can't take your check. Your last one bounced. And we were completely exposed in front of people. People who didn't know us very well, but suddenly had access to a very private struggle. We walked out empty-handed. We went into the car. I sat in the passenger seat and I watched my mom. I couldn't even breathe. She held the steering wheel like it was a life preserver. She put her head on the steering wheel and she cried her eyes out. Something got in me. I never, ever for the rest of my life wanted to know that kind of public humiliation. We jump ahead a number of years. I'm a young mom. I'm battling a disease. Two of my three sons had chronic respiratory issues. We had medical debt, more than we could pay. And we were paying $5 a month on every bill. We had $27,000 of medical debt. I'm in this packed waiting room with my three little boys. And out of the blue, over the crowd, the receptionist says, I'm Mrs. Larson. And I stand up and I said, that's me. And in front of everybody, in a pretty harsh voice, she says, I'm sorry. We can't see your son today. We need a little more than $5 a month on your account. And our kids, my boys looked up at me, and I looked at them, and everybody was watching me. And I was publicly completely humiliated and exposed. I walked out to the car with my little guys, buckled them in.
I put my head on the steering wheel and I cried my eyes out. I was mortified. Jump ahead. I had my first speaking event. I'm still a young mom, so sick, had memory issues. I was so scared, but I knew God wanted me to share our story of hardship and how faithful He was. Someone gave me the cassette tape of the message afterwards, and I heard a detail that I'd gotten wrong. I misspoke on a certain detail by accident. But like raging bulls stampeding through my ear, the enemy said, "You will certainly dishonor God. You will certainly mess up, and I will be there when you do. I will humiliate you." And here again, that fear got a deeper stronghold in my life. Jump ahead again. Here I'm a published author, and an author friend of mine has a review on Amazon from a woman. She gave her a scathing review. She said, "I don't respect this woman at all." She said, "I've read her other book. She said she went into foster care at age 4. This book, she says she went in at age 3. Which was it? She has no credibility with me. I don't want to read anything she has to say." Now, in my right mind reading this now, I would be able to say, you know, get a clue, woman. You know, when children have horrific traumatic events, it is easy to blur the dates and the times. But I was so wrapped up in my fear, all I could think about is, I'm going to get a detail wrong. I have some painful things from my childhood. That's going to happen to me. And it strangled its hold on me all the more. Jump ahead again. There were some women in my life who decided to hate me. And they talked to a lot of different people about me. And the things they said had kernels of truth, but a lot of lie. I was publicly humiliated and exposed. It was like the enemy took all these different dots in my life and tempted me to connect the dots. And all it did was put a stranglehold of fear in my life. I was scared out of my mind that I was going to dishonor God, that somehow, some way, I'd humiliate myself. So with every bit of advancement I experienced, the noose tightened on me. I couldn't enjoy all the promises that I've been walking out and laying hold of by faith. Scared out of my mind. Well, one morning I was sitting in the sink putting my makeup on. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, my older sister always sat in the sink in the bathroom and she'd do her mascara. So I thought everybody sat in the sink. So even now at this age, I sit in the sink to put my makeup on. Well, this particular morning, I'm sitting in the sink and I'm actually really joyful because that fear hadn't reared its head in a while. And I'm getting ready to fly out of state for a speaking event. The praise music is on. I'm having a good morning. Really out of the blue, I'm putting on my makeup. And it was like Jesus was right here. And He whispered with such clarity in my ear, I'll never forget it. He said, "I expose the wicked. I defend, protect, and vindicate the righteous. Not because they're perfect, but because they're mine. And you are mine." And I gasped. I said, "What?" And it was like He leaned in more. And He said, "I expose the wicked. I defend and I protect and I vindicate the righteous. Not because they're perfect, but because they're mine. And you are mine." And I cried my eyes out. I knew it was true. The truth set me free. I knew I could never be perfect. And I lived under this false assumption that God didn't have my back. But He did. He exposes the wicked. He defends and protects and vindicates us. When He sends us out, He has our back. What He exposes in our life is the lie, so He can replace it with the truth. I cried, and then I tried to put my makeup on, and then I cried it off, and then I put it on 3 times. And then I'm like, whatever. And I got on the plane, and I spoke. And I needed to just be in a room and cry my eyes off, because it was like He lifted this boulder out of my soil, and He set this prisoner free. I was raw. It's like I had surgery. Well, the next morning, I'm still at the speaking event. I got up early. I wanted to get in the Word, open my journal, and just hear more of what God had to say. And without a hint of condemnation, He said, "You remember that time you exposed another?" And I did. Several years before, somebody who seemed like a Pharisee to me, she blocked the things of God, frustrated me to no end. And in the conversation where people were wondering why things weren't moving ahead, without saying her name, I asked another question that insinuated her guilt. When I did that, the Lord took me out to the woodshed for about 3 days, and I was under heavy hand, the discipline of the Lord. And yeah, the enemy tried to come in with all kinds of condemnation, but it was the hand of the Lord that undid me. I had a whole new fear of God after I had done that. That was years ago. So here I am that morning of the retreat, and the Lord so sweetly whispered to my ear. He said, "Do you remember that? You can't uncover another to cover up yourself. That's my job." And do you see why I needed to deliver you from this fear? You sin out of those places. We sin out of those places. I need to heal you because it's those areas where the enemy has access to your soul. Next morning, I'm with the Lord again. I'm crying over my Bible. I'm journaling. I'm just like, tell me more. Tell me more. You've set this prisoner free. Tell me more. And the Lord whispered to my heart again. And he said, what do you pray every day for the human trafficking victim? And I didn't even have to think about it. I said, expose the wicked and establish the righteous. Confuse the plans of the wicked and establish the plans of these heroes who are going to get these captives out of there. Put a firewall between the wicked and the weak. And I have this long prayer that I pray, but I didn't even realize I'd been using the word expose, and the Lord whispered in my heart, so there's the word again. Do you see how connected your threat to the enemy is with his threat to you? This is why I gotta have you free. I gotta have you free. And you can trust me to deliver you. You can trust me. I will have your back. He exposes the wicked, but he defends and protects and vindicates the righteous because we belong to him. You wonder if that's true? I want you to think about Noah for just a moment. Noah was a righteous, righteous man. If you read the Bible, he did everything God asked him to do. How many of us can say that? God asked him to do something, Noah did exactly as God asked. But then one day, he passes out drunk, naked, not his shining hour. His young son, Ham, what is his instinctive response when he sees his dad in this humiliating scenario? He runs and he tells. But his two other sons, they back in, they honor, they cover their father's nakedness. You wonder if it matters to God whether we expose or cover? Look at the history, how it plays out, because Ham's generation is cursed and his brothers are blessed. It's as if God is saying, yeah, I know he's drunk. I know he's naked, but he's my son. That man, that drunk, naked man you're talking about, he belongs to me. And so you come against him, you come against me. You got to know you can trust him. It's such a big deal to him when we trust him with our fears. It's such a big deal to him when we step out with all our stuff. He's got our back. He can be trusted.
He's got our back. He can be trusted. That's a clip from my DVD that goes with my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, and it makes me cry every time, and it's I already knew how it was going to all play out. But I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Is God bringing you through a time, and is that enemy making threats to you, and you're having a hard time finding God in this place? I'd love to hear from you and just chat with you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. What is true is that our battles and our hardships, they bring our stuff to the surface. And we so often want to medicate, we want to cover up, we want to save face. But really, if we could trust, Lord, this is more of me, more of myself life is showing. And then you have joy because that means you have more of the kingdom to inherit. You have a God to go to, a redeemer who is strong, who can totally redeem and transform your life. You got to trust him, though. What we instead do is we push it back down. We medicate. We create a little rope-a-dope, so to speak. We kind of create a distraction over here so that we don't have to look at this thing over here. But truly, if we are set on walking out the purposes of God over our life and enjoying intimate fellowship, we're going to have those times where our stuff comes up. But we have no reason to fear. And when we are called out, we got to trust that he'll hold us up. Imagine the disciples, if you would, and the people in their communities who knew them when. Can you imagine the taunting? Really? This is a guy who's going to talk about the kingdom that comes to earth? Really? Because I saw him just about a week ago. You know, there's going to be people that rise up and criticize. You're going to excite the jealousies of others if you dare take God at his word, because so many don't. And so they're going to try to find fault. They're going to try to accuse you. What do you do with that? You know what you do is you remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You remember that we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels so the people, so the world will know that the power is of God and not of us. So that is exactly the point. Yeah, you might be able to find fault. You might have a snapshot of me back when, But I serve a living God. And when he calls me out, he's going to hold me up. So you can take up your account and your case with him because he is going to defend me. I have one last clip I want to play. And this is about trusting God's timing. And I see a couple calls coming in. 877-933-2484. Let's play the clip.
Remember, there will be times when you want to step out and you'll be sure that you're ready. But God says, no, wait. Trust his timing. And there'll be times when God is urging you to move and everything in you is so afraid you want to run and hide. Trust his love. Face down your fears. You can trust him. There was this precious young Englishman that was in a Nazi prison camp in World War II. Man of God, loved God's word. And he had his Bible. And he was reading Psalm 91. Love that passage. It talks about, though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, it will not come near you. The beginning of that passage is, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This is a passage of protection, of vindication. And this young man is reading this as men are dying all around him. And he said, Lord, I'm a young man. I still want to do things for you, but men are dying all around me. Will I die in this prison too? And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, rely on what you've just read and walk out of here. With his Bible in his hand, he went to the inner gate. The guards shined their lights on him. They aimed their guns at him. And they said, where do you think you're going? And he held onto his Bible and said, I'm under the protection of the Most High. They straightened up. They dropped their guns and they opened the doors. He got to the outer gate, bigger guns, bigger lights. Where do you think you're going? He said it again. I'm under the protection of the Most High. And the doors opened up. He walked across the countryside until he got back to England. Once the war ended, he found out he was the only one to survive that prison camp. Once the war ended, he also learned that Hitler's inner circle referred to him as Most High. He was referring to the Most High God. God protected him. Can you imagine how afraid he was? But he trusted God more. There'll be times you don't think you're ready, but trust him. He can be trusted. Listen to this powerful quote from Eric Ludi. There's absolutely no excuse to stay where you are right now. If you are weak, he can make you strong. If you are timid, he can make you brave. If you are a pervert, he can make you pure. If you are selfish, he can make you selfless. If you are a shepherd, he can make you a king. If you are mediocre, he can make you a mighty one of valor. Jesus doesn't need men and women who merely esteem him as great, but believers who are willing to be made great by his life. God uses our everyday circumstances and our battles to reveal what's in us. But be of good cheer, because as he reveals what's in us, he delivers us from it. And he only makes us wait because he's making us ready. Because those things in us, the enemy knows they're in us, and he will use those against us if God doesn't deal with them. Trust his timing. Face your fears. Overwhelming victory belongs to you because you belong to him.
Overwhelming victory belongs to you because you belong to him. I want to squeeze in one more phone call if we can. David's calling from Cloquet. David, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate your story. And I just want to speak to the men out there. We go through the same thing.
Yeah.
And most of my Christian walk, I spend hiding because I thought, oh, if they ever find out how I really am, nobody will love me. But I found out God loves me. And the Bible says that when our enemy's taking us to court, agree with them. So when the enemy attacks me now and says, oh, you're lazy, you're no good, you're this, I go, you're absolutely right. Because it's in my weakness that God has made strong.
And
so, you know, to all the men out there that are struggling with this, go tell. You know, the most dangerous person is somebody on the comeback. What can the devil tell? I did drugs? Okay. I abused my wife? Okay. You know, I was an alcoholic? Okay. What else can you tell? I'm going to tell them before you do. So there we go. Now I'm free. I'm free. And now I know what it means to be free in Christ.
Wow.
Do I still struggle? Yes, but I know what it's like to be free in Christ.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your testimony, David, and for being honest. And that is exactly right, that I think the church is rendered impotent if all we do is try to save face and impress each other. But when we start to get real and say, this is my story, it's almost like we have to get used to the idea of being willing to be known as someone who needed to be saved. You know, you're not the exception to the rule. We all have our sin that bends us one way or the other, and that calls for us to need a Savior. And so what's your story? I once was blind, and now I can see. And Boy, that's really great, David. May God continue to redeem your life in every way. And I know that you're right about that, that men also struggle with this. We all do. We're all trying to put our best face forward. But when we do that to the point of self-protection, we shut things down. And so I would love to know. I'd love to even hear from you how you're giving God access to your story and how he's redeeming your story. One of the questions I ask in the book is, can you look back over who you were, assess who you are now, and be encouraged by who he's making you to be? Are you at home with Christ in you, your hope of glory, and are you getting excited? I sure am. When I think of who I was and who I am now, I'm still scratching the surface, but man, he has redeemed places in my life that I never dreamed possible. What about you? Well, I'm going to wrap up the show with a prayer from the book, and here it is. Precious Lord, I humbly bow before you, and I thank you for loving me like you do. Teach me to contend with the fears that contend with me. Search me and know me. Show me those places of access where the enemy gets in to stir up my fears. Let's shut him down once and for all. I trust you, Lord. I entrust my soul, my hopes, my dreams to you. Heal every part of me and make me whole. Forgive me, Lord, for clinging more to my fears than I do to your promises. Make me a mighty one of faith. Shine your light on my face and light up my countenance so when others encounter me, they encounter you. In Jesus' name, I pray. And here's a passage from Ephesians 3:20, 21. Now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or think. Now glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, both now and forevermore. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at myfaithradio.com. You can email or share it over Twitter and Facebook, and we'd love for you to do that. Be sure to listen to tomorrow's program. We'll hear part three of my series on my newest book, Your Beautiful Purpose. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.